So there's such a thing as the glory departing from a place. That the glory is here doesn't mean the glory will always be there. The glory can depart. The glory of God can leave a place. The glory of God can depart from a church. The glory of God can depart from a service. The glory of God can depart from a life. The glory of God can depart from a singer, from a preacher. When the glory of God is with a person, the person becomes very attractive. Like, you just like whatever they do. If they release a song, everybody will buy the song. If they write a book, everybody will read the book. Like, the book just becomes a national sensation, and you can't even explain why. The glory of God is real. The glory of God causes you to have favor. People don't know why, but sometimes they start saying, when you are glowing. Do you understand? You hear such things. When you really start interacting with God in a certain level, do you understand? Let me show you something real quickly. Come to this is a reality, guys. Exodus 34, verse 29. Exodus 34, 29. Now the Bible says, now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hands when he came down from the mountain. So you remember, Moses has gone to the mountain of Sinai and he was there with God 40 days and 40 nights. Do you understand? He was with God for how many days? So it was an extended period of time that Moses was with God. And during that time, God gave him the Ten Commandments. Actually, God wrote them on the tablet and gave to Moses. Do you understand? So what you learn from there is that every time you retreat to be with God, God will speak. God will instruct you. God will give you direction. God didn't give these Ten Commandments up until Moses went to the mountain and was there for an extended period of time. So when he returned with, these Ten Commandments, they have shaped the laws of humanity. We use these Ten Commandments almost in everything we do. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not give false testimony, thou shalt have no other God before the Lord your God, thou shalt not make an image of anything on earth, in the heavens, or under the sea to be your God. You know, all those commandments, they are the foundation of what we do. And these were received by Moses thousands of years ago in a mountain where he spent 40 days and 40 nights. Can I tell you something? If you could spend time with God, God will give you an instruction that will affect generations to come in your family. Because when Moses was descending here with the tablet, he was descending with part of what we will use for the rest of our lives. So he came with instruction. But now, the Bible says that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with God. NLT it. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai carrying the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant. Why? Because he had spoken to the Lord. Moses had been with God 40 days and he didn't realize it has affected his face. There was now a glory on him, but he himself was not aware of it. And that's what happens to you usually. When the glory of God comes on you, you are not aware of it. But people start being drawn to you, just like flies are drawn to the light. the light just shines. And just by shining, things start being drawn to it. If you go to the next verse, verse 30. So when Aaron and the people of Israel saw the radiance on Moses' face, they were afraid to come near to him. It immediately changed the rank of Moses. People that used to just treat him anyhow, all of a sudden, their attitude towards Moses changed. Because they could see there's a difference. It's not the same person. Spending time with God and being covered with his glory is the master key to being respected. It's the master key for your level to change. This fear they are saying here is like they were no more treating him familiarly, like they used to behave with him, talking to him anyhow. When they saw the radiance, they realized this guy is different. That's what, if you're going to spend 21 days and sincerely seeking God during these 21 days, I think some glory will rub on you. That's why we call it 21 days of glory. Because it's an interaction with the God of glory. He is called the King of Glory. And can I tell you something? It is God's desire that each one of his child will carry his glory. Do you know if a Japanese prince, not just a Japanese citizen, if a Japanese prince enters this building now, you will see the glory of Japan in the guy. Oh, you not understand what I'm trying to say? You will quickly see where he's coming from. The way he will dress. Like, he's dressed the way his people dress, but his is higher. Do you understand? Like, anything that they wear, when he's wearing it, it's at a whole new level. So you are seeing the glory of wherever he's coming from. If an American woman, a high class American woman enters here now, you see the glory of America in her. Her hair, her nails, the way she is, the way she carries herself, you see the glory of her country. So the Bible says that the woman is the glory of the husband. Because usually, the person, a great man, do you understand? You can't really see his glory in himself. The way you see the glory of a great man is in the people that are under the great man. It's the best, like that's how his glory is revealed. Those under him. So the Bible says that the wife is, like, when you see a woman reflects her husband. Yes. She's basically the glory of her husband. So when a woman, however she looks, that's the husband. Find it for me. I think it's 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. So when a woman doesn't look good, the husband's glory is affected. A man ought not to cover his head since he is the image of the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. The man is the glory of God. Do you understand? God created man to carry his glory. So when Moses was coming from that man, he said, now as a man, you now know where the glory is activated. You don't carry the glory of God just because you are a man. Moses started carrying the glory of God by taking responsibility, withdrawing from the people, and spending time with God. So the glory of God started rapping on him. But the glory of God is like the perfume of God.
Yeah.
If I'm wearing Hugo Boss or whatever nice perfume, if I'm wearing a perfume, a nice perfume woman is there. Perfume sister. So if I'm wearing a perfume and you come near me and you hug me, if you just greet me, maybe if the perfume is in my hand, you just greet me. And then after that, you smell your hand, you see that there's something in your hand. Because you just touched me. Something that I have came to you. That if you hug me for a long time, you'll be surprised that my perfume is going to pass on to you. And when you move around, people will start smelling my perfume in you. And they will even think that you are the one wearing that perfume. Like they will even think that you have that perfume. And the only reason it's smelling on you is because you spend time with me. You were close to me. You were hugging me tight. You were close enough for something that is in me to be passed on to you. By the glory of God, the closer you get to him, the closer you get. Like if you can really find your way to him and you get very close to him. That's what happened to Moses. What he has will be passed on to you. And you walk out of there, people will immediately see that you're not the same person. Your results will show it. The way you speak, your decisions, a lot of things about your life start being different. And we can also know, this guy is different. This lady is different. But he's spending time with God, in the word of God. Like I showed. So one of the ways through which the glory gets transferred to us is through prayer. Spending time with God. Spending time with God. Especially spending extended time. Now, when we are praying together like this, it's good. But I want to tell you something. The glory of God really gets transferred in your personal time with him. Moses was not in a church meeting. It was Moses and God, only the two of them. I don't think if I'm doing a group hug, it will be easy for the perfume to stay with you like that. Group hug. If I just wear my perfume and I hug my wife for a long time, immediately the perfume is going to pass to her. Ask your neighbor, do you smell like God? What are they saying? Are you blessed? Oh my God, we need to go, we need to go, we need to go. I see the teaching anointing has come on me now. Oh yes. Go to 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15.
He's saying that.
Am I sit properly? Do you see that? Do you see that, guys? What does it say? Then give 15 and 16, please. Let's read it. Praise the Lord. I'm just trying to show you that the Bible says that we are to God the fragrance of Christ. The fragrance of Christ. So there's a smell people can pick in you and me when you really become born again. Which is different from like the same way when you haven't bathed or when you haven't put roll on. People can start picking smells about you. So when they pick the smell, they can, this guy doesn't bath. Or this guy didn't pull a roll on and stuff like that. And when you've bathed, you put your roll on, you put your fragrance on, we can all sense the freshness. Do you understand? It is the same thing. A truly born again person, you don't need to really say it. People smell it. People can sense it. Do you understand? So there's a fragrance that you carry. Your language changes. Your behavior changes. Your thoughts change. Like a lot of things about your life just are different. Just like when you are not wearing a perfume, when you are wearing a perfume, it's different. And you don't need to say to people, hey guys, do you know that I bathed today? Even if I'm not smelling, I actually bathed today. Like people who haven't bathed, who are trying to convince you that they've bathed, is like a non-believer who's trying to convince you that he's a Christian. We are to God the fragrance of Christ. May you be a fragrance of Christ. In other words, people smell Jesus Christ. People must smell Jesus Christ in your words, in your actions, in your decisions. People must smell Jesus Christ. Like people say, oh, this smells like Jesus perfume. Like we know that perfume. This smell. And they ask, did you put on Jesus' perfume today? It smells like Jesus' perfume. The people should just pick it in you. So I'm showing you, and that's the glory of God. That's the glory of God. That's like something about God starts appearing in you. Something from God. That's the fragrance of Christ. But people are sensing it. God can sense it. Among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So people that are being saved can smell it, and people that are also not saved yet can also smell it, and even God can smell it. I pray for us that we should come more and more the fragrance of Christ. More and more, more and more. May you bring a good smell in that office. May you bring a good smell in that working place. May you bring a good smell. Do you know nothing is nice? Have you ever been in a place and somebody entered with a nice perfume? Oh. You just look around. Who's that? Who's that? Like what? It just does something in the atmosphere. Good scents. Good perfumes. It does something. When a person that is wearing a nice perfume enters and passes, I'm telling you, many people are going to tend to look like, what is that? What is that coming from? That's how you and I are when we bring Christianity, the values of Christ, wherever we are. It becomes like a nice perfume. Like people are like, wow, man, the way you answer to us, the way you talk, the way you behave is just so nice. We all wonder, who is this? Who is this person? Who is this person? You bring the culture of Christ in every place you go to. And many a times, the perfume of Christ is like the air freshener. In your bathroom there, there's air freshener. When a bad smell has been released in the atmosphere, you take the air freshener and do like this. Shh. Within 10 seconds, the air freshener neutralizes the bad smell that has just been released there like that. And the whole place becomes nice. Even though there's something bad that is happening there. But because of this air freshener, it neutralizes the scent of the environment. So I predict that some of you are going to become air fresheners. Air freshness, air freshness, air freshness. Yeah. Lavender. Ocean bliss. You know those smells? Wild linen bliss. All those very nice scents. Yeah. When you go to work and you find some, hey, you know those smells? Complaints, this, that. Release some lavender. In the is it lavender? What do you call it? Release some lavender. I'm saying lavender. Lavender. Some Jesus lavender in the system. Some blood, some Holy Ghost ocean bliss in the environment. You just break the atmosphere. I say you just break the atmosphere. 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 You just come there. You are charged with the presence of God. You've spent time with God in the night. You woke up in the morning, you are charged with the presence of God. When you come to the office, you find all those evil spirits. This one is busy with this. You know, you just enter with a scent. You neutralize the environment. Isn't it nice that way? That's where we are going. That's the glory of God. That's the glory of God in our lives, in our lives, in our lives. So you need to carry the glory of God. Amen? Let's close quickly. Hebrews. Oh, yes. Ooh, air freshness. Ask your neighbor, do you have an air freshener in your bathroom? You are torturing yourself. Oh. You stay inside there, you are releasing and you are inhaling yourself. My God. Have you ever seen a situation where you want to go out, but you can't go out because you are still busy? But what is already available? It's too much. And you want to go out, but you can't because you are still at work. But the little you have already released in the atmosphere, you are suffocating yourself. Tell your neighbor, get an air freshener, air freshener. To keep yourself where you can do business as usual, but in a good environment. This is you working with devils, but enjoying your work. You are working with evil spirits, but your lavender has neutralized all those bad things in the environment. So you are working in a very badly charged environment, but you are enjoying yourself. You are still enjoying the work. You are enjoying being there. Meanwhile, everything is bad. But the lavender, the ocean bliss. Wow. Hebrews 2 verse 10. The Bible here tells us something very profound. For it was fitting for him for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing what? Many sons to glory. If you NIV it, it will also include the ladies. Or NLT. Maybe. Okay, this one is a bit better. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. Are you among the many children God is trying to bring into glory? God wants to bring many, not a few. God wants to bring many of us into lavender. Many of us. God wants to bring many of us into glory. What is glory? It's success. Yeah. What is glory? Glory is trophies. Look, you can play the whole tournament. The glory is the trophy. Winning games. Getting things done. Achieving things. That's glory. Seeing victory in your life. Coming out of defeat. Coming out of confusion. Things beginning to happen. Things that you were hoping to happen starts happening. That's glory. And the Bible is saying that God wants to bring many children into glory. And the opposite of glory is what? It's shame. It's shame. The Adam and Eve were carrying the glory of God. But after they rebelled, immediately they became ashamed of themselves. That as soon as the glory leaves, it is replaced by shame. It is replaced by shame. Romans 3 verse 23. If the communion stars can already help us, I'd be very happy. For all have sinned and fall short of what? The glory of God. So you see that sin attacks direct the glory. The glory. The glory. And many, many children make this mistake. Eh? Like when you start engaging the spirit, the glory of God starts visiting you. Let you know yourself. Build up. Praise the Lord. So here's the principle of visualization. Beholding as in a mirror. A mirror brings a reflection. When you look, it reflects something back to you. So that a mirror, you are beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. Whatever God has reserved for your glory, taking many sons into glory. That thing, God is beginning to show it to you. And you are visualizing that glory that God has. He says, you will be transformed from glory. Like, you will go from, he talked about the process, the steps that are going to get you to that glory that you saw in the picture. Every day, two will become three. Three will become four. Four will become seven. It's different levels of glory. But ultimately, you will reach the 200. Are you blessed? Yeah. Thank you so much. Let's just thank God tonight for the recovery of the glory. Oh, yes. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for challenging us to visualize, challenging us, Lord, to not just think it, but to also dream it and to also print it and bring it close and visualize it. Thank you, Lord, that we will not be lazy. Thank you, Lord, that in this vision month, we are involved in reviving everything you've given us, our ministries, Lord. We are trusting you that this church will see 200 people easily, easily. Prayer services will be 100 and something. Sunday morning is 200 and something. Right here at the First Gulf Cathedral. Father, we're beginning to visualize it. We're beginning to interpret it. We're beginning to accept it in our minds, Lord. And I thank you that there is a vision for our marriages. There's a vision for our homes. There's a vision for our careers. There's a vision. And you are helping us, Lord. Because it's part of your glory for us. It's part of your glory for our lives. That will carry your glory. And your glory will not just be some glow that we imagine in our heads. But this glory is something real that people will see that this is the glory of God. This is the glory of God. I'm in the presence of the glory of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that nobody here will live in shame. Nobody in this church will live in shame. But we are moving from glory to glory. We are not satisfied where we are. We are grateful for the levels of glory that you have given us. But we are determined to stretch for more. We are determined to press for more. Thank you, Lord, that you have revealed the glory of the career. Thank you for the job I have. It's a level of glory, but I'm pressing for more. Thank you for the new grade I have entered to. It's a level of glory, but I'm pressing for more. Thank you for my cell. Thank you for the ministry. Thank you for what I'm doing in your house. It's a level of glory, but I'm pressing for more. Thank you, Jesus. That nobody will stagnate in this church. Nobody will stay at the same level. Nobody will remain at the same level. We are changing from glory to glory. We are doing more. We are increasing. We are going deeper. Father, I break the barrier of opposition. I break the barrier of stagnation. I come against dream killers. I come against dream extinguishers. I destroy the forces of darkness that are fighting people from searching for more. Thank you, Jesus. We give you thanks and praise.